today. Yeah, for those of you who don't know, I'm Bonnie Kikuchi, and I'll be speaking about 3 John, a letter that might be a bit overlooked in comparison to other books in the Bible. So the letter goes, "The Elder, to my dear friend Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Dear friend, I pray that you may enjoy good health, and that you all may go well. That all may go well with you, even as your soul is getting along well. It gave me great joy when some believers came and testified about your faithfulness in the truth, telling how you continue to walk in it. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. Dear friend, you are faithful in what you are doing for your brothers and sisters, even though they are strangers to you. They have told the church about your love. Please send them on their way in a manner that honors God. It was for the sake of the name that they went out, receiving no help from the pagans. We ought therefore to show hospitality to such people, so that we may work together for the truth. I wrote to the church, but Diotrephes, who loves to be first, will not welcome us. So when I come, I will call attention to what he is doing, spreading malicious nonsense about us. Not satisfied with that, he even refuses to welcome other believers. He also stops those who want to do so and puts them out of the church. Dear friend, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. Anyone who does so is from God. Anyone who does what is evil has not seen God. Demetrius is well spoken of by everyone, and even by the truth itself. We also speak well of him, and you know that our testimony is true. I have much to write to you, but I do not want to do so with pen and ink. I hope to see you soon, and we will talk face to face. Peace to you. The friends here send their greetings. Greet the friends there by name." So while it's a really short letter, in fact it's actually the shortest of all of John's letters, I'd like to give you some background information on what is happening. And as I'm a bit of a history buff, you'll probably hear a couple dates and names thrown around just because I find it really interesting. 3 John is disputed to have been written around either 90 AD or between 60 to 65 AD, and is addressed by John to an elderly man named Gaius. At the time, missionaries of Christ, being known as brothers, would go out without any aid or money, and while on the road, seek shelter with fellow Christians. John is describing such situations to his friend Gaius, who is presumably a well-respected elder within a local Christian church, and is praising his friend for his charity and hospitality towards these travelling Christians. This is during a time, of course, where tensions between Roman and Christian forces were very much running high, and so it's interesting to note that these brothers and sisters would have at all costs avoided staying with the pagans, and so relied heavily on the hospitality of local Christians. However, John further goes on to describe a situation within the local church where a man named Diotrephes has been using his status to not only turn away travelling Christians, but spreading slander and lies about Gaius and John himself. John uses the man's lack of charity and desire to be first to highlight the importance of imitating the good instead of the evil and remaining humble in your exercising of power. So to break down this sermon, I will be giving three different examples of where situations like the one between Diotrephes, John and Gaius can be described. In the church, in your family, and in school or university. Churches are great places. They're where we go to connect with God and to reflect on his involvement in the passing of the week. They're also really social places. I know everyone here likes a good long chat with each other over a cup of coffee or tea. The food's also really good too. And just as we see in 3 John, churches are places where there are power relationships. There are always people who have a little bit more authority over how the church is run, what sermons are used, who speaks and who plays music, and just like any other social environment, there's always a chance for conflict. Decision-making is an important process to ensure that a church is run properly. We want to ensure that it continues on for as long as possible, And by referring to those with authority, we can make sure that we choose the best decisions. However, this is where conflict can arise. Say there is a decision that a person in power goes with, and no one else agrees. It's tempting to act like Diotrephes and in your own desire, control the way a church is run. End up exercising self-control that reflects only your own desires. But John calls us to be better than this. As he says, anyone who does good is from God, then so are we called to walk in the truth. When we try and offer opinions or exercise control over a situation within a church, we should make sure that we are not wanting to be first, just as Diotrephes did. We should not reflect our own self-interests, but instead imitate goodness. Instead of excluding people, it is important to include everyone in discussions in the church and involve as many people as possible in decision-making. For that is when you get a balanced, better opinion and so imitate the truth. I like to think that you can talk the truth, but you also have to walk the truth. Just as it might be for Gaius to stand up to Diotrephes, it is hard to do so. But God didn't call us to be Christians because it was easy. He called us to follow him because it's hard. And so that is why, when we imitate the good, it is so much better than imitating the evil. We have won a victory over ourselves to be a John or Demetrius instead of a Diotrephes. I'd like to address the question about what is self-serving control and why is it something we should avoid. One example of this is the dynamics or relationships that exist between families. Have you ever been in a family situation where you are suddenly required to make room for an unexpected arrival? And no, not a baby, but perhaps a distant cousin or aunt or uncle who have always been known as that relative. While they might share the same family name as you, might have grown up alongside your family, extending hospitality seems suddenly very difficult. After all, what are they giving you in exchange for a place to stay? They're asking you to make room for them, to share your food and your time. Hospitality doesn't seem right when you yourself have a family to look after. The right thing to do would be to discuss this with your family. After all, your relationships with your family and the power each person exercises are ultimately what decides who stays with you. And maybe in this time, you have a situation where you're discussing this with your partner and they don't agree with you. They want to have your relative stay over, or they don't understand why you are reluctant to show hospitality. And when you disagree, they start disparaging you, and you them. There doesn't seem to be a way to agree to disagree other than saying things that hurt you, and you respond similarly. You say slanderous things about them and about the relative who wants to stay with you. You are only trying to protect yourself and your own position of power. Or maybe you're in a share house and there's someone who isn't doing what you want. They refuse to help with the chores, washing the dishes, putting the bins out, sweeping the floor. They think they're in control, and so they seek to assert that control by putting you down. They spread rumours to your other housemates that you've been bossing them around, when really all you want is for them to do their fair share. Maybe they've even threatened to make you leave. These situations within families or homes where there are power relationships all show examples of us or others acting as Diotrephes, saying hurtful things in order to win an argument or to extend our control over a situation, spreading lies about each other in the hopes that the other person will give in and understand our point of view. That is what I call self-serving control. But that isn't the right thing to do. We are called as Christians to be a Demetrius, someone who the truth itself stands up for. Imitate the good and not the evil. That is what 3 John asks of us. So instead of disparaging our partners, saying things that will hurt in the hopes of controlling the situation, we should aim to avoid this. Exercise power in a way that includes others, such as asking why your partner wants a relative to stay with the both of you, or speaking privately to that particularly troublesome housemate and finding out why they don't want to help, and address that problem one-on-one. 3 John asks of us that we imitate the good, for those who imitate the good have seen God. And by imitating the good, we bring joy to those around us when we do so. It can be incredibly difficult to do this, but in the end, who are we to refuse the reflection of God? Why shouldn't we be better, kinder, more hospitable people? John's letter can just as easily apply to a situation within school or university. Just as Diotrephes excluded Christians who did not follow his example, kids are just as easily persuaded to ostracise those who don't follow particular social expectations. It could be that you don't wear the same brand of shoes as everyone else because your parents can't afford to buy them. Or you like reading books instead of playing sports. Or maybe you just answer the teacher's question when no one else can be bothered to. There are so many situations where students are encouraged to turn against each other or avoid inviting you into their group of friends because you're a little different. Power relationships just as easily come to fruition here. After all, you're in an environment where there are a lot of different personalities and each person trying to figure out who they are and where they belong. All of this leads to there being certain powers, groups in power, being popular and having the ability to sway the rest of your year level. And this is where the manipulation and control of Diotrephes can be easily identified. Have you ever noticed in your friendship group there is that one person who makes all of the decisions? They seem to enjoy exercising control over everyone else, deciding who is invited to a party or who is asked to sit with you at lunch. These people like to take their personal feelings and interest and extend it to become the rule of everyone else. Or maybe you've recently started university and you found yourself in one of the dreaded group assignments. Maybe there's someone notorious for exercising their control over the project to every minute detail, to the point where you feel like you have absolutely no say in where this project is going. Or maybe you're the one in control, and you feel like you're the one who has to stand up and make sure everyone is following the plan, everyone is doing their assigned work. And even if you maybe insult someone along the way, it doesn't matter so long as the work gets done. John, who is a bit of an outlier, a challenger, a man willing to stand up for his own principles and those he believes in, doesn't want that. John asks that we walk in the truth and reflect God. He knows this is a hard path, but he calls us to walk in it, no matter how old we are. So instead of turning against other kids who stand out, it is important to make sure we are kind. Believe me, giving your friendship to that kid who doesn't have a friend makes a world of difference. Or listening to other people's opinions on the running of the group assignment will actually help you reduce your stress. We should all provide that friendship, hospitality, that no one else will. In being kind to those who are alone, we are reflecting the good in the world and in God. So in conclusion, I'd like to propose three things to think about across the week. 1, the actual application of 3 John. I know I've just talked for a bit of a while about lots of different scenarios, but when it comes down to it, what the very crux of this letter is. Showing hospitality to travelling Christians is to walk in the truth, and we should imitate the good and avoid self-serving control like of Diotrephes. This could be as simple as thinking about the social groups we are in, whether they are work, friendship groups, church settings, family circles, and figuring out how decisions are made in these groups. Are there ways that decisions are being made that are not in fact imitating good, but imitating evil? 2, is there anything you yourself need to change about how you exercise power? Are you excluding people from a conversation about change? Or are you trying to control people you love out of self-serving interest? We're all only human, but I believe that we must imitate goodness in our lives and in the way we exercise our power over others. 3, John was a man who wanted to see other Christians received in goodness and in hospitality. He was aware of the struggles of power and control within churches, and so in our day-to-day lives. And in verse 13 to 14, he says, "I have much to write to you, but I do not want to do so with pen and ink. I hope to see you soon, and we will talk face to face." And just as I have spoken to you about this letter, we should all talk face to face about the way in which we exercise control. Talk to people you trust, and talk to God about whether you're imitating goodness as He would want it, and so giving great joy by walking in the truth. Thank you.